to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
The light, if the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight, at arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
To the book of Genesis chapter 28. I'm going to read verse 10. The Bible says, Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth with its stone. I'm reading from the NIV. Reaching to heaven. And the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord and said, I am the Lord, the paradosele faratilekeshotele paradiaskata. Zile borom dele fatileshele krodoskolo faradiakata. Mento kati sheli ketoska parakiakata. Yes. I'll tell you. Blessed be the name of God. Blessed be his holy name. So as I was reading this scripture, I felt in my spirit that you must do everything to give this teaching attention, because it will mature you. It will mature you. It will bring you to a place where you begin to recognize the workings of God without saying, something told me, like some people say. You will know when God is speaking, and you will not be spiritually sluggish, so that you can work with God and remain relevant at every point that God wants to do something in your life or in other people's lives. That's what I said in other terms. Praise the Lord. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it. He was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Other versions will say, this place shall be called Bethel, the house of God. Praise the Lord. So, I want us to also go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 1. The Bible reads, Jeremiah 18 verse 1, I'm going to read from the NIV. And the Bible reads, this is a word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house and saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, Can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declares the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, I will reconsider the good I had intended for it. Praise the Lord. I will follow you. All right. I want us to read one last scripture. Then I'm going to make some sentences. 1 Kings chapter 19. So this is after Elijah had killed all the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel had sent him an email telling him, you did this to my boys, I'm coming for you. So he began to run for his life. Right? Yes, that's where the story comes from. And the Bible also tells us he was so depressed, basically, that he went under a tree to pray. And his prayer was, kill me now, in Jesus' name. He was asking God to take his life because he was just tired of one woman after killing 250 men. So I'm going to read from verse 7. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent a night. And the word of the Lord came to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left. And now they are trying to kill me. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. I want to tell you that I had an encounter where I met Elijah at this point, but I don't know if it's necessary. When the Lord allows me, I will explain to you some things that I saw during this period. And that was maybe like a month ago. Or two, I don't know. Somewhere there, but I need to check my book of supernatural encounters. All right. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. Same sentence. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me. The Lord said to him, go back the way you came and go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king of Israel. And anoint Elisha son of Shaphat. And he gave him instructions. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we are grateful for this opportunity you've given us to gather like this. It's been a while, Lord, and we value it. We are grateful. We pray that we may get out of it everything that you have planned for us. We ask all this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, as every child of God says, amen.
Amen.
All right. Somebody say, all right.
All
right. Some of you know that I was out. But I was, as I was moving from Johannesburg to Durban, the Lord began to speak to me. And I want to share with you some of the thoughts that he gave me. You know, in that period, I was, you see, Durban is predominantly, are those more people coming? Or they've come to collect them? All right. You see, Durban is predominantly, not predominantly, like it's got so many Indians. Apparently, it is the second largest, it has got the second largest population of Indians from India in the world. Yeah, I mean Canada. So I didn't know that. And as we were going, I just saw Indians everywhere and a few black people. So where I sat, I was sitting next to an Indian. There was an Indian who was supposed to sit next to me. I was put in the middle. So when he came, I think they've got their own racism issues going on here and there. So when he came, he looked at me because I had my hoodie on, so I didn't look like your usual gentleman. So he looked very unimpressed. Then he walked away, went and put his bag on another place. Then came back, looked at me, walked away again. Then came back and then just out of chifkushi sat because it seemed there was nowhere else to sit. So when he sat there, I was watching one of my old sermons on. Then it's like when he looked, he felt a bit ashamed because I think he was also a Christian. So he took out his phone and he started looking at also, you know, church, drums, instruments, and he looked comfortable. I was like, okay. but I just ignored it. And then, in that moment, God began to speak to me, and he said, blessed are the meek. That's Matthew chapter 5. He said to me, blessed are the meek, because they will do what? They will inherit the earth. And I said, Lord, how? Then he explained to me that apart from power, ability, and the force of dominion to conquer nations, what you need in order to possess the earth is a mixed spirit. And I asked the Lord, I said, how? And he said to me, you see, you must be very willing and an easy person to relate with. Don't be quick to judge people. Don't be quick to dismiss people. You must be a person that easily associates with people. I said, wow. So I learned that some of the people that have power are people that can easily associate with people. There was a man called Otto von Bismarck before the creation of the nation of Germany. There was a strategy that he used to use in order to grow the nation of Germany, because the nation of Germany is a number of countries that he amalgamated to form it. So what he would do is that he would go by force. And if he notices that a nation is not submitting by force, then he would get into nice conversations with them and make family. Then once they are sleeping, then he would attack and take over the nation. When they are nice now and they have relaxed and they have dropped their guard, then he would fall upon them. And that's how the nation of Germany would grow. So he was known as a strategist. He's a father of Germany. But he used meekness and kindness. And whilst his enemies slept on his meekness and kindness, then he would now introduce violence. So that is one way to show that meekness has a way in which it gives you possession. And you see, every time you are also kind to people, you sort of have access to them. Some people used to think that you can't buy loyalty. I don't think that's absolutely true. Every person I have been so nice to financially has remained loyal to me. And how many have that testimony? That every time you've been kind to people, I'm not saying that they are not bad people, but I'm saying on a normal day, when you were kind to people financially, they are kind to you. Yeah. And they will know, this person helped me. So there's something about meekness. It's a worldly way of buying loyalty, but God, Jesus said, use worldly mammon to make friends for yourself. So there's a way in which it works. Don't be stingy with your resources, because that's dominion. Imagine, you know, I remember this one time, there's a certain shop, I won't say which one. Every time that I'm there, there are two ladies that are found there. I leave them tips, and they are so happy to see me every time. And I leave tips like maybe 50 kwacha, things like that. So there was this one time, what they do is the moment they see me, they all rush to the till. So there was this one time I bought something, and as I was there, there was another man who had bought something in front, not just a gentleman with it, and he grabbed his change and then he stood there packing his things. They were not even paying attention to me. They were all just paying attention to me, smiling and giggling. It was all godly. Smiling and giggling. I'm joking. Smiling and giggling. And yeah, how are you? How have you been, sir? Good to see you, you know. And just being kind to them and all. So this man, it's like at some point he got tired of pretending. And he asked this lady, how come you are not kind to me? How come? They just laughed. They knew the secret. I knew the secret. He didn't. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible says, your gift shall make room for you before great men. There is a secret there. It's not just talking about your talents. This is why there are times when you need to call people for coffee. Go ahead and lunch, as you're having a discussion. Not for Zoom. No, sometimes you have money, it's an investment. By the way, let me tell you this. There's no relationship that does not come with an investment. You will have to invest time for any relationship, and you have to invest resources. Are you following me? So all that, when you invest time and resources in a relationship, it is going to give birth to loyalty. People are not just loyal, because loyalty is an expensive commodity. If I am going to be loyal to you, it's probably because there's something that you did for me, or there is a characteristic that you have demonstrated that I hold in high regard. So if you want people to be loyal to you, apart from just character, you must be willing to invest in those resources. You need to invest in those relationships. Sometimes some women wonder why the relationship between their husband and their mother is so strong. And you are upset because this guy is married to you. By now, I've been a smoker. He must have been weaned by now. But the mother still seems to have a say in his life. You don't know where they are coming from. There was a lot of investment that went into that relationship. There was a lot of tears, a lot of love, a lot of discipline, a lot of finances, a lot of endurance. It's not easy to lose that in a moment. So every woman must be willing to understand that to some degree. I'm not saying that it must be overdone, but to some degree, there's a way that mothers invest in their sons. That every woman who is a newlywed should understand that there's something that was in the... I remember this one time, you know, when we just did my Chilangam Lilo, and because my mother, like, really, really loves me. Even, like, recently, my mother sends me money. I just tell her, woman, what are you saying about me? Oh, no, just buy something. I'm saying, I sent you money, what more do you want? I don't know if other people in my family have sent money, so. So, during my Chilangam Lilo, she came. Esther, my older sister was not very trusting of my mother because she has seen how much my mother loves me. So she goes to her and she says, you know now that Daniel is getting married, so you just can't go to his house anyhow. You just can't go even now. And my mother was shocked. Huh? She really looked heartbroken. If you're chin cafe. So Esther now sat down and began to give her counseling on how to behave when your son is married. And for a few minutes, my mother didn't look very happy. She even grabbed Joe, but let's go, he's leaving us. And it looked funny, but I could see that something has happened. Why? Because so much has been invested in our relationship. And to just let it go to this new woman who doesn't know where I'm coming from, what I've been through, you know, it's just There's like a pain in the chest that every mother feels. The point I'm making is that, you see, relationships must be invested in. And when investments are done in a relationship, there is a dominion that you have. Imagine you've got good friends in the police, you've got good friends at the hospital, you've got good friends at the airport, you've got good friends. That's dominion. Having relationships with people is power. This is why love is a fruit of the spirit. It leads to dominion. Serious is not a fruit of the spirit. While she tough, while small push. Then you wonder why people don't easily vibe with you. What I am giving you is wisdom for life. Don't be quick to judge people you don't know. Always, with a lot of cautiousness, give people a second chance. You never know what they can do for you. Somebody say, I hear you.
I hear you.
So it was, those are these, what I'm teaching you is what God was teaching me on the plane. Do not be like that Indian brother who judged me. I'm not saying all Indians are like that. Who judged me very quickly without knowing the kind of a person I was. Somebody say, I hear you.
I hear you.
Now, the point I make again is that in order for God to give me this, by the way, so when I went there, I had to quickly learn some Zulu words, Afrikaans words, and I was easily associating with people. So that, who knows, maybe God can tell me to begin ministering to some people, we may start something there. You just don't go there, I'm just here to do the work of the Lord. No. You need to be, these are the things that God was teaching me. Now, again, now I'm saying the point that I'm making is this. Had I not been on that plane, I would have not had that very bad encounter, and I would have not received that word from the Lord. So I needed to be in the right place at the right time for me to be taught dominion through meekness. Had I just been here sitting, I wouldn't have gotten that word. And when you study the Bible, you begin to notice, for example, the first time that we see in the book of Genesis that Jacob is receiving a word from the Lord. He had to be in a specific place. It's only in that place that he had a dream of angels descending and ascending on the stairway. And afterwards, God began to give him instructions on where he should go and where he shouldn't go and what God is going to do for him. This is why initially his father had come to a place of Bethel and he had raised his altar there. So that was the only place, because of the covenant that that place had with God, that God was going to speak to him. And had he not been there, he wouldn't have gotten a word from the Lord. We also see how God comes to a man named Jeremiah. And he tells him, I want you to go there at the potter's house, then I'll give you my message. Why didn't God speak to him right there? It was because sometimes the word of the Lord is tied to places. The word of the Lord is tied to places. There are places where you must be in order to get the word of the Lord. So God appears to him because there's a way that the voice of God is amplified by certain things, to the extent that if God speaks to him in that moment, he will not be able to pick the word of the Lord, because God is spirit. And he does not necessarily communicate the way we communicate. When you think about spirit and the physical realm, you need to think of it as states of matter. There are three states of matter, right? There's liquid, there's solid, and then there's gas. Look at it like this. The speed of sound in gases, is very slow, right? Why? Because the particles in gaseous state are very far apart. They are in a state of free movement. They are not packed together. So for sound to move from one particle to the other, it takes more time. Now, sound is clearer in liquids as opposed to gases, because at least in liquids, the particles are closer together and sound can move much more easily. But in solids, it moves even faster, because the particles there are more properly packed together. So think of it like that. There are certain places where the voice of God is like with a solid, and there are other places in which the voice of God is like gas.
So sometimes you are in a gassy place, and although you can hear God, you have to work extra hard. But if you now move to a solid space, it becomes much easier for the voice of God to move and for you to catch it very quickly. That's the difference between God speaking in spirit, that's a state of existence, and Him speaking to you using your ears. So the way that sound works in different spaces for you to catch it differs. It's very important for you to see that. I remember when I was in first year, I really wanted to know what I wanted to study. I needed to know what I needed to study because my grades were not the best. It was one of the first few times I was, you know, and then I'm thinking, my goodness, what am I going to do in order that I know what to do? Because there are all these amazing courses. People have talked to you, study DS, added with sociology. Law does not have market, you may not make money. So there's all these voices I'm hearing. Then one time I went for Pastor Cholwe's meeting. It was called Night of Destiny. And because of even the way the meeting is couched, it's called, when I reached there, before the man of God even came, as I was just worshiping, I clearly heard the voice of God saying, go to law school. Why didn't I, yes, I'm a believer, but why didn't I hear it in my room? Because my room was gas state. And that meeting was solid state. I'll tell you this. It's important for us to be in the right place at the right time if we want to hear God. We are told of Elijah again, how that he really wanted to hear the word of the Lord. And interestingly, there was a point where an angel appeared to him, but that angel did not have the word he was looking for. So he needed to go into another place. And when he reached that place, there was a voice which asked him, what do you want? And he began talking. Then he says, no, I'm not going to tell you. Go and present yourself to the mountains. Then you hear the word of the Lord. When he went there, he now began to have different encounters. And the voice of God was not even in the place of encounters. Because firstly, there was such a wind. And I will tell you about that wind. It was so strong, it almost threw him off the cliff, would have fallen off. But the mercy of God held him up. As he walked a little further, there was a fire that came. Then there was an earthquake that came. But God was not in all those places. All those places could potentially have carried the voice of God. All those places could have potentially carried a message from God. And some of those places, in fact, carried a message from the Lord, but not the message that he needed for the moment. So when he went now into a cave in a mountain, then he heard a still small voice that began to give him tabulated instructions of what he needed to do before he left the earth. That means Elijah, to hear a certain revelation from God, needed to be at the right place at the right time. Somebody say, I hear you. Right. It was in 2022 when Dumisani had this meeting in the stadium again. I don't know if that was the first time. And, well, I was not necessarily like going, but I was encouraging everybody to go because I like the stuff that it teaches. And Apostle Fred came to me and insisted that you should go. He even gave me a ticket. So, out of peer pressure and to make him happy, things we do for love and friendship, I decided, you know what, let me go. When I went there, I looked at the people. They were not as many as he had advertised. And I was saying to myself, yeah. These are the only people that have come. Like, there was only a portion of it. In my head, I was thinking maybe the whole thing would be filled. And then God spoke to me and he said, that is where you are wrong. Because it is not just in the numbers that is going to help this man. The marketing that he has done has earned him a name beyond this event. What is going to happen afterwards is going to have invites and is going to make more money than he has spent on this. And then God now began to give me instructions on what to do for Love Sunday. And he said, don't worry about the numbers. I want you to tell everyone you are going to the stadium. I want you to push and go loud. Don't care about how many people will come. Afterwards, I'm going to set you up as A, B, C, D. And because of that, many people will come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. They will come to your ministry, and it's a way in which your ministry will grow. So don't look at Love Sunday and going there as an end in itself, but as a means to an end. Here's the point I make. I needed to be in the right place, a place I didn't even want to go to. But I needed to be there in order to have an encounter with the Word of God. You see, this is how come there are certain places where you are at and certain conversations that you have. As you begin to have those conversations, you begin having revelations from the Spirit, giving you particular instructions and direction about issues in your life, wisdom about what to do. You have to be in a particular place. The Bible says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So it is because when you are in that place, there is an impartation of the wisdom of the world that you begin to receive. And you are in the wrong place at the right time. Because there's no time which is wrong. You could have been somewhere, but you are in the wrong place. You could have been somewhere in that particular time, but you are in the wrong place. And as a result, you begin receiving an opposite impartation as opposed to what God had for you. Brothers and sisters, when you learn this, you'll be in a place and you'll be having a conversation and you'll say, this is what I needed to hear in my day. Because you'll be looking for God speaking to you. You see, in Matthew chapter 16, the Lord Jesus took his disciples to a place called Caesarea Philippi. Now, that place had very amazing works of art, rocks, and architectural designs of the highest order of their day. As they were there, a word of the Lord hit Peter when Jesus asked the question, who do you say that I am? And he said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And then he says, for this reason your name shall no longer be, it shall be Peter. And he says, on this rock. There were rocks around him. So you find that there was something that probably made Peter feel like this is the rock that the builders rejected according to the prophecy of Isaiah. So the Holy Spirit, I'm guessing, the Holy Spirit could have probably made Peter look on all these things that were around him, and he picked the word of the Lord from that, and he was able to tell, this is the rock. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the chief cornerstone. And Peter said, yes, and it is on this same rock, which is a revelation, which is me being the chief cornerstone. It's on this same rock that I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Somebody shout, yes!
Yes!
What I'm trying to tell you is, when you learn this, it matures you to pay attention to people when you're having conversations. To pay attention to going to church. Sometimes the word of the Lord that you needed is in coming to a place like this. There's a reason why the Bible says, do not forsake the coming together, the assembly of the brethren, as the habit of some is. One of the reasons why Satan, that's Hebrews 10:5, one of the reasons why Satan wants to insist that you should not go to church is because he doesn't want you to receive that day your daily bread. Jesus said in the book of John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. And the bread of life is the word of God. Matthew 4:4, man shall not eat by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So the word of the Lord is bread. The Bible also says in the book of Proverbs chapter number 4, that my word, he's talking to his son, he says, pay attention to my word, because it is health, it is life to all those who find it, and it is health to their flesh. The word of God is bread. When the Bible is talking about bread, it's talking about the word of God. In John chapter 6, Jesus is talking and he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So the reason why Satan does not want you to come for midweek service, why he doesn't want you, why he insists that there's just, you know, I told you last time that one Sunday morning I woke up and God began to give me a revelation. I began to see demons preparing for church service more than Christians do. On a Sunday service, on a Thursday service, and the devil is doing everything in his briefcase to make sure that something comes up so that you don't go to church. It's because he's afraid of what you can do with the word that you're going to receive. It's going to mature you so that next time you're having a conversation with people that are spiritual, you open your ears. So that next time you are in church, you know, this is my Bethel. This is where God is going to talk to me from. As you are walking, you're like, Father, in the morning, Father, lead me today. You said in your word that the steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Father, order me in the places where I must be, so that I may receive the word that you have for me today. Because you taught us that we have to ask you each day our daily bread. And even today, you've got a word for me. Somebody say, I receive guidance. Say, I'll be in the right place at the right time.
I'll be in the right place at the right time.
So don't just be excited to be anywhere.
Wow. Yes, Pastor.
It's not everywhere you should be.
Yes,
this is why you shouldn't go to Ayaku Club. What are you doing there? You are going to receive a word. But that word will not be from the Lord. There's a spirit that will begin talking to you. I don't know, Mrs. Mumba, one day you need to come and share. The time that you gave your life to Christ, she went to the club with all her gifts in Uyo. And then there now, by the grace of the Lord, God opened her eyes. She began to see demons. Now, because it's me who is saying you, so one day I'll call her. She will tell you what happened. We'll make a day. Maybe next midweek service, you start with that testimony. So that most of you young people should not just be anywhere you are sliding like a banana. Everywhere you are just going. Are you out of your Bible? You need to be at the right place at the right time. But there's a grace as well that I began to feel in this season. That the Lord is going to move you. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 36 verse 26, I will cause them to obey my statutes. You just feel like going under a tree and you're going to have a meeting there. You just feel like staying in a certain place and somebody's going to call you. This, even when it comes to marriage, sometimes you need to just be in the right place at the right time. Imagine if I left the library in 2012 of August and I did not meet Apostle Fred. Every time I think about it, I shiver. I shake every time I think about that, because it means I wouldn't have known you. I wouldn't have known Mavis. I wouldn't have met any of you, because through that guy, I got to know my ministry better. Wow. And it felt so like a stupid meeting. Because when I met him the first time, I didn't like him. I'm thinking, who's this guy shouting scriptures in the library? So I went to stop him and to tell him to relax. When I reached there, what he said made a lot of sense. So we came out discussing the word of God. And we say, oh, what's your name? Then we knew each other. Imagine, do you ever have think, had I not been in a particular place? Had I not been in a particular, there's a turning point which we receive by the mercy of God. And it's not like you receive this dream and this vision. Somehow, by the leading of the Spirit, you just found yourself in a certain place. And as you are in that place, every time I think about the mistakes I would have made had I not met certain people, my spirit shivers, I tremble inside. Because I don't know what my life would have been. What would have been of my life? I'm so glad you found me worthy. I can see, I can tell, and I know it's your grace. All my days, I will sing your praise. As they fasted and prayed, the Holy Spirit said, they gathered together, and as they fasted and prayed, the Holy Spirit said, Acts 13 verse 2. It's a number four, it's a place of fellowship. Number five, it's a place of spiritual alignment. Number six, it's a place you must fight to be a part of. Because some things are fighting you from going to Bethel. Number seven, we must build a culture of being there. Number one, it's a place of encounter. Number two, it is a place of clarity and direction. Number three, it's a place of commissionings as per Acts 13 verse 2. They were together in one place, and as they fasted and they prayed, the Holy Spirit said. So it's a place of commissioning. Number four, it's a place of fellowship. Number five, it's a place of spiritual alignment. Number six, it is a place you must fight for to be there, because there are things fighting you to be in the right place at the right time. Number seven, we must build a culture of desiring to be in the right place at the right time. So, this message is entitled Bethel. Now, I'm going to give you direction for this month. You see, this, oh, salavra dile onde le pratiche shoda bahaski. Blessed be God. You see, for this season, the Lord did not give me a message. He gave me a song. And I want you guys, I sent you the song. We're gonna sing it shortly. He gave me a song, but the grace that's going to accompany this season, right? So can I have the people who are playing the instruments ready to play? So the grace that is going to accompany, see, that's what I spoke in other times about. I was trying to wonder why God did not give me a message. But he told me that the grace just now, that the grace that is going to accompany this season is a grace at Bethel. You are getting into a season of clarity. You are about to get into a season of encounter, a season of fellowship, of spiritual alignment. You are about to get into a place that you must fight to be there. It's a place of direction. And I pray that all of you, any area that has been dark in your life, you've not been able to see clearly. I am praying that you're going to have it. Just begin to pray for yourself. Begin to receive this season. Begin to receive this season. Just begin to pray. If you can pray in the spirit, begin to pray in the spirit. If you are unable to pray in tongues, just begin to tell God, Lord, let my Bethel manifest every day. Let my significant moments manifest in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray for yourself.